Miller is the author of 7 books, at least 7 books, and including Connecting with the Arcturans, which was published in 1998. And it is a channeled account of the Arcturan presence on Earth and our own ascension process. In the book, he details the new frequency that is transforming Earth into a fifth-dimensional planet and the support given by higher beings, including the Arcturans and Pleiadians. David is also the founder of the Group of 40, a spiritual meditation group seeking to create personal and planetary healing for the Earth and its inhabitants. David Miller, we're so glad to have you on the show today. Welcome to Lost Knowledge.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy to talk about the Arcturians and the healing of the Earth.
Great. Well, let me start by just setting the stage a little bit by asking the simple question, who are the Arcturians and what is their Earth mission?
Well, the Arcturians are fifth-dimensional beings. They originally were described by Edgar Cayce in one of his readings in the 30s and 40s, and he referred to them as the highest beings in this section of the galaxy. They are fifth-dimensional beings. They live in a fifth-dimensional planet called Arcturus, which is near the constellation Arcturus, which is approximately 36 to 37 light years from the Earth. Their mission is to help guide us towards moving ourselves and the planet into the fifth dimension. And they are also experts on the planetary evolution. They have seen other planets go through what we're going through now, and they have wisdom and they have guidance in how to help us through this crisis that we're now in.
So how do they engage in space travel? And also, do they ever materialize here on Earth like some of the other star beings that we hear about?
Well, first of all, they can appear here, but they don't directly interact on the third dimension. That's what I call where we are right now. And the reason is because if they started interacting and changing things, then they become karmically involved in the Earth. And this is a big problem for any extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional being. They have to be careful because sometimes when they do get involved, they get locked into the Earth's incarnational cycle and they cannot return back to their home planet. And this has actually happened quite often to many starseeds who are now here and have were Pleiadians, were Arcturians, and they did become involved, and then they are now in the Earth's incarnational cycle. Now, they do have special methods of space travel, and this includes accelerations at speeds that are close to the speed of light. Then their spaceship has a, I don't know what else to call it, but an engine that interacts telepathically with the computer and with themselves, and they are able to think themselves across the space-time corridor into other sections of the galaxy. Now, that's a brief description. I really can't give too many details because I don't totally understand it. And that technology is still hidden because they do not readily share it, although they have admitted they feel that the Earth is close to being able to do this type of space travel.
So one of the things that I read the book Connecting with the Arcturians to try to get a little bit more understanding, and one of the things that popped out to me was that the Arcturians are soul masters, as you described them in the book, and that they specialize in soul regeneration and also in guiding souls into the higher realms. Can you explain a little bit about what that means? Because that's sort of fascinating to us. Michael and I do work at the soul level, and we're really interested in what, you know, what the soul evolution process is and how that might relate to cosmic energies.
Well, first of all, we're in the third dimension, the Earth, and we reincarnate on the Earth. The Earth is looked at as a school. We all have lessons to learn. Some of us have had 300-400 lifetimes. Some of us have had less. Some of us have had more. So each experience on the Earth it relates to what we're supposed to learn. Sometimes we don't learn it in that lifetime. We have to come back and learn it in another lifetime. And then when we do learn that particular lesson, we can go on to other lessons. we eventually reach a point where we could graduate from the Earth. Graduating from the Earth means that we are completed with our Earth incarnational lessons, and we do not have to incarnate any longer on the Earth. Now, there's a process whereby we leave the Earth's incarnational cycle and go through what the Arcturians call the Stargate. And the Stargate is an interdimensional corridor which they operate, which they oversee. When our soul is finished here, we go to this place called the Stargate, and then our soul gets to go to different realms, different levels, different planets, based on the guidance of our higher self, based on the guidance of our masters, and based on the guidance of the Arcturians. So you pass through the Stargate, and it's been described like a train station where, okay, you can go to Europe, you can go to Berlin, you can go to Munich, you can go to Paris. It has different tracks, and that's kind of what the Stargate's like. So when I talk about soul evolution and the soul masters, what I'm referring to is that they are giving us information, they are assisting us, and they are instructing us on how to complete this aspect of our Earth incarnation so that we could graduate and our souls could advance to higher realms.
Interesting. So it also says that the Arcturians are working closely with Palladians, and that they're developing fifth-dimensional portals and grid lines for Earth. Is that something that they're still collaborating and working on, and how is that progressing?
Well, there are what I call the fifth-dimensional masters, and the fifth-dimensional masters include the Arcturians and include the Palladians. The Palladians are human, and they are like our ancestors. So and we consider them ascended masters also because they're in the fifth dimension. So there are fifth dimensional beings like the Pleiadians and the Arcturians who are working together to help bring us into the next dimension. And what I'm suggesting to you and to your audience is that you and people who are listening to me can evolve and can move into the fifth dimension. But also, the planet Earth can move into the fifth dimension, just like the Arcturians and just like the Pleiadians. So yes, they are collaborating. They're doing it in different ways, coming through channels, bringing down corridors, bringing down higher light. The Arcturians in particular have decided to use a method that they refer to as etheric crystals. And I'll explain that in a minute, but I hope what I've said so far is relatively clear.
Yeah, no, it is pretty clear. We've done a lot of, we've talked a lot about the Pleiadians and the fifth dimension. So, and I think what this Arcturian teachings does is go take it to the next level to really help people understand sort of what that process is and what's happening out here. So, I just want to ask you another question about some of the comments that they make about the other star nations. So before I let Michael jump in, so the Arcturians say that the Sirians and the Pleiadians have been in charge of genetic manipulations here during Earth, you know, Earth-human evolution. Can you explain what that means?
Well, genetic manipulation means that extraterrestrial beings outside of the Earth have come in and intermixed with us. This was actually referred to even in the Hebrew Bible in Genesis when they talked about the Nephilim, which are referred to as the fallen ones. And these were beings who, impregnated the humans. Now, the Arcturians refer to the humans as the Adam species, the species of Adam. And therefore, they were able to influence certain genetic aspects. But we believe also that there's been other genetic manipulation. And I hesitate to use the word genetic manipulation by the when I'm talking about the Pleiadians or the Arcturians. The reason is when you use the term manipulation, it implies that there is some kind of self-gain. It implies that it's done for selfish reasons. And I think your readers are probably familiar with some of the stories of the Nephilim and some of the stories that are referred to as other beings from Planet X who have come here and wanted to misuse the Adam species. So
So like the Orion group and the Anunnaki type.
Exactly. Reptilian.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, how is what the Pleiadians and the Arcturians are doing different than that?
Well, the difference is that they are helping us to control and influence our own genetic evolution. We now are in a crisis, and we are in a position where the humanity has to evolve to the next level. And that
means, why do we have to do that?
Because we're on a path of self-destruction. What was that song that came out many years ago in the 80s? We are on the eve of destruction. I don't remember the name of the song. I think that was the name of the song. But I mean, I'm not trying to sound too dismal or too depressing, but the fact is that we are right in the midst of the sixth extinction period in this planet. And the biosphere is in danger of collapsing. There are many problems with the oceans, and there are other aspects of the biosphere that could totally collapse. So we have to dramatically change, and there's not a movement in a planetary shift. In fact, if you look at what's going on now, there's more polarization, there's more war, and there's more destruction going on in the environment. So the shift is a shift in consciousness. And it's not a shift genetically where, you know, we walk upright. In my other books, I talk about the concept of evolution and refer to Australopithecus, and I refer to Homo sapien, Cro-Magnon, and Neanderthal man. Just to point out that these were critical periods in our own evolution that certain tasks had to be learned. And, for example, there still is a debate, but it is many people believe that the Neanderthal man did not know how to use fire, and that the Cro-Magnon didn't know how to use fire, and that may have been the difference. That may be the evolutionary change, the ability mentally to understand how to use that enabled them to survive. And it's pretty
well. It's what you're saying is that we have to develop a different mental or spiritual consciousness that will boost our evolution again?
Yes, not only do we have to, it's totally necessary. If we don't, then this whole planetary system is in danger of collapsing. And that next evolutionary step is consciousness, is spiritual consciousness, exactly as the way you described it.
So what this spiritual energy that we have access to, is that have something to do with being multidimensional?
Exactly. And I talk about this in my website, in my books. My website is www.groupofforty.com. And we're trying to set up discussions and information about multidimensional presence, what that means. And also we're trying to explain how we, as humans, can evolve into the fifth dimension. And our goal in my project and my work is to bring fifth dimensional consciousness to awareness and to help make that a part of our evolutionary process.
What do you think, Michael?
Well, David, worst case scenario that the human race destroys the planet, what is the cause and effect on the cosmos?
Well, I mean, the planet itself may not be destroyed in terms of a big explosion and everything is thrown into tethers. But what's going to happen is that we may not be able to live on the planet anymore. I think that's the more likely scenario. You know, the planet, let me rephrase this. We require a certain percentage of nitrogen and oxygen. We require certain degrees of temperature for warmth, etc. And the Arcturians call the ability to hold this the feedback loop system. Okay, so the worst case scenario is the feedback loop system is out of control from our standpoint. I mean, the Earth may be able to bring it back into another loop 20 or 30,000 years from now, and then humans can come back and live. But the worst case scenario is we would not be able to stay here because the feedback loop system could not hold the parameters necessary for us to survive.
Now, you speak about going through the Stargate. Is there a hierarchy in the universe, and what is the ultimate goal of a soul, and does the form of a soul stay with the being through all its different dimensional travels?
Well, the answer is yes, the soul does stay with the person. There are different levels of your soul, though, and there's the lower level, the middle level, and the higher level. So you're now, most people are experiencing the middle or lower levels. But we're moving towards higher consciousness, so we're able to experience and connect with our higher parts of our soul. Yes, there is a hierarchy. A hierarchy, for example, includes Sananda Jesus. It includes the archangels. It includes the extra-dimensional beings. But, you know, there also is lower dimensional beings, and there's lower extraterrestrial beings. So there are some dangers out there. And there are people who are our beings that have selfish and negative intent. But there is a spiritual hierarchy, and Sananda Jesus is a key ingredient in that hierarchy.
And would you explain that, Sananda Jesus?
Well, first of all, my original study is in Jewish mysticism and the Kabbalah. And the Jesus is the, I guess, his name when he was on Earth. Jesus was a multidimensional being. He was able to bilocate. He was able to do many different things, had many higher powers, came from a higher source. Some people believe that he was actually visiting the Pleiades before he visited here. The Arcturians jokingly say to me that when Jesus was visiting the Pleiades, he had a much better reception than when than the reception he receives on the earth. But now he has a different name because we're in a different time, and the name Sananda refers to Jesus as a galactic being. So we're saying, and I'm saying, and the Arcturians are saying that Jesus is not only a higher being here on the earth, but he's also known throughout the galaxy. And when we are referring to his presence throughout the galaxy, then he is known as Sananda.
Well, I've got one more question, if I may ask. Is it possible for humans in a higher dimension to make contact with this being to bring back the healing abilities that he had, the spirit had, to utilize on Earth today?
I'm not sure I exactly understand your question. I mean, can we connect with Jesus? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there are healers. I know healers. Everybody knows healers. But I know healers that actually channel that spirit that you'd call Jesus as part of the healing ability.
Right.
And I was just asking what your take on it was.
Well, let me just say, first of all, because I'm a professional channel. I've been channeling for over 20 years. I've written 11 different books that are all channeled, and I've had a lot of experience. And I want to say that channeling is a very unique process. And part of channeling is giving up part of your ego so you can connect with the higher being. And some people could connect with the higher being 95%. Some people can connect 75%. Some people can connect 50%. A lot of it depends upon the purity of your soul and the purity of yourself. So the answer is yes, people can connect with Jesus. People can channel him. And also, in my study of the Jewish mysticism, I came across this concept called cohabitation, which means that higher beings can cohabitate, can live in your energy field. And this is part of the process of channeling, when the higher being, such as Jesus, can come with you. And then this has been done in many other different instances throughout the history of Western civilization, going back as far as Moses, who was cohabitating, angel was cohabitating with him. There were examples, other examples. But the idea, though, is can people receive an information from Jesus? And the answer is yes. What is the percentage of total connection? It varies depending upon the level of the spiritual development of the person channeling him.
Thank you. Excellent answer, David. Thank you.
So, David, I want to talk for a minute about the light frequency that you mentioned a lot and that the Acturians are trying to teach us about. So what do they mean when they talk about light frequency and you know, how does it relate to our soul and our evolution?
Okay, well, the Acturians have this concept called spiritual light frequency. It's called SLQ. And they talk about IQ versus spiritual light frequency. So IQ is your intelligence, your ability to do reasoning, your ability to have problem solve, your ability to use language. There are many different things that are involved in our IQ. But generally, as we age, our IQ gets lower. And even Einstein, IQ deteriorated. And I'm also have a lot of background in psychology and psychotherapy. And Einstein did his greatest work in his 20s. And if you look at mathematicians and even some musicians, a lot of them did their greatest work in their 20s, the late 20s. So what does that say? It says that as we get older, you know, it's just like an athlete. The mind gets slows down a little bit. Now, the light quotient, the IQ, that's your spiritual IQ, does not. In fact, as you get older, your spiritual light frequency can actually increase. Now, by spiritual light frequency, it's the vibrational energy that you are vibrating on, because we are actually vibrational beings. You know, this fact, when I look at you, you look at me, you think I'm solid, I think you're solid. But the reality is that everything is vibrating. And if I could see you as you really are, I would see huge energy waves around you. I would see your emotional body, your physical body, everything vibrating. And when you reach a certain spiritual understanding, you vibrate you at a higher frequency. I mean, it's actually, you know, vibrating at this. And one of the techniques that Acturians are teaching is called shimmering, which is a practice to increase our spiritual frequency so we can vibrate. So that's a brief description of the spiritual light frequency.
So is somebody born at a certain level when they incarnate in an earth body? Do they have a certain frequency that they come in at?
Well, yes, they do. And every one of us has what I call our true nature. Our true nature is what we really are vibrating on, what we really are capable of. But you know as well as I that there are a lot of intervening variables. Our society, the Western society, isn't particularly encouraging spiritual development. And so there's a lot of clamps put on this. And in my study of psychology, I learned that there's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, which it closes your perceptual field so that you can function. Now, we can understand that, especially in primitive man, you wanted to have a somewhat closed perceptual field because you wanted to see what the dangers were. And, you know, if you were too zoning out on the beautiful sunset and all the energies around, you wouldn't be able to protect yourself. But also, the downside of it is that the brain is also, we're acculturated to only see a narrow band of frequency, to only live in a certain level of reality.
Can I jump in with a quick question, Deb?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with brain routings, not from an expert, but events such as a rap on the head, a concussion, something like that. What I've found is if it roots the process through the brain, and now that what you've just talked about may open up a little more of the depth perception, because people change so much from a situation like that that it's hard for them to go back to where they were before living their normal.
Absolutely. That's an excellent example, an excellent point, because a lot of people who might have been hit on the head or been in a car accident or something like that and have what's called an NDE or near-death experience, and suddenly their perceptual fields are opened from that. And, you know, we read reports of them going through corridors and going through other dimensions. So, yes, that is an example. But there is another side. If it's the too strong of a concussion, you know, they could have brain damage. So, you know, it has to be at the right place. And I just want to say that there is some research in shamanism, which this point that opens up this perceptual field is called the assemblage point. And there are stories of shamans striking one of their students in a certain place in the back of the neck, and that's supposed to open up their perceptual fields.
Ha! Interesting.
So, David, I want to find out a little bit about your first contact with the Arcturians and sort of what was that? What was their motivation for getting in touch with you in particular, and what was their message to you as far as what you needed to communicate?
Well, first of all, I was on a camping trip up in the north rim of the Grand Canyon at a place overlook called Sublime Point, and I began to spontaneously start talking, channeling. And also in the Kabbalah, channeling is referred to as automatic speaking. I've been raised and been studying Jewish mysticism for many years, and there's a long tradition of channeling in Jewish mysticism, but that's a whole other lecture. I won't get into that right now. But I started doing this, and my wife really encouraged this because she really is into this. And I started bringing forth information about things, telling her about her past life. And I went on for about 2 or 3 hours. And she wrote some of this down. And then when we got back to our campsite, I also started receiving information that was from Giuliano. Now, I have to say that I had read Norma Milanovic's book, We the Arcturians. And I immediately, after I read that book, I immediately felt that I was connected to them. So on a second trip up to the same point, they started giving me information on what they wanted me to do. And they wanted me to form a spiritual organization of 40 people to help organize a spiritual foundation, a spiritual network, to bring forth the fifth dimensional light and energy and to hold that light and energy on the planet. And at that time, about 20 years ago, I said, I don't even know 40 people in my life. How am I going to do this? And they said, don't worry about it. People will come to you. So that's how I started my organization, the Group of 40. You can see information about it if you just look on Google David K. Miller, and you'll find, you'll get hits that bring you to the Group of 40. So,
well, and I think there's over, 1,200?
There's approximately 1,200 people around the world. I have members in the United States, Canada, in many countries in South America, Germany, in Switzerland, in Australia. And we're trying to bring forth this new spiritual technology so that we could provide the transformation or help provide it. Now, we even made a movie called The Blue Jewel. And incidentally, the Arcturians call the Earth the Blue Jewel. And I'll tell you some more about that movie later if you're interested.
So the Arcturians contacted you, and also, like you did mention, Dr. Norma's book, they have been contacting Earthlings during this process of ascension, which I would say is really accelerated in the last couple of decades, and have been quietly, systematically creating this healing energy that's facilitating our process into the fifth dimension. Would you say that would be a true statement?
Yes, they are contacting many people. Each channel has certain abilities. Each one of us has a certain soul mission. The reason why they chose me was because I'm a rather obsessive person. I am very. I start something and I don't stop until I finish it. I have a lot of training in psychology and psychotherapy. I have some organizational skills that I've used in some of my other career when I was working in the medical field. And also because I have a good understanding of trance work and different dimensions. I have studied different levels of consciousness when I was studying psychology at Ohio State University. So I have a background, and I'm able to, have my feet on the ground, even though I'm letting myself go up into other realms.
Well, and that's the one thing I wanted to ask you about, because one of the problems that people face when they sort of understand this new aspect of multidimensional self, and they're bringing in all of these new energies, these higher frequency energies, is, you know, to stay grounded and stay out of ego and to be able to sort of manifest this new dimension of self. So what sort of advice can you give people as they're sort of waking up to all these new energies and their all these multidimensional aspects of self, so that they can maintain that balance?
Well, I think that you have to be grounded. I mean, this is the most important thing, is you have to be grounded in the earth. Even though we're letting our consciousness go off into higher realms and traveling through the interdimensional corridors, there is a danger. There is a danger that you can become mentally unstable. Because of my study in psychology, there's this phenomenon called multiple personality disorder, where people think that they are different, have different personalities. And, you know, someone who's untrained and doesn't have a firm foundation, you know, could be thrown off balance if they don't prepare themselves. So how do you prepare yourself? Well, one of the ways I prepare myself is through prayer and meditation. I have a particular practice. I'm a Tai Chi practitioner, and I also practice martial arts because it helps me to be grounded in the earth and to be in my body. So I really think that as a channel, it's extremely important that you have a strong foundation and are grounded to the earth energies.
So is this ascension of the earth, is that, we talked about it a lot, you know, that during 2012 would be the evolution of, you know, this new fifth root race or new species that Casey talked about, and that we would, we would all participate in this process of ascension. Are we right now sort of in the midst of all of that? Are we in the turbulent times, and is that all just part of what we're going through at the moment?
Well, yes, we are in the midst of it. The 2012 was a key point because we were coming into an alignment with the central sun. But as you know, there's been a lot of things, a lot of catastrophes that have happened since 2012, but it hasn't been a major upheaval yet. So we're right now at the point, I believe, where there are more spiritually minded people than ever on the planet. Even though there are a lot of polarizations, even though there's a lot of negative forces, which I don't think we have to talk about because everybody knows what they are. Even though that's there, the opposite truth is that there are more star beings, there are more spiritually minded people, and one of the missions I have and one of the tasks before us is to bring us together somehow, because we have to unite in a greater unity. So the good news is that the spiritual energy is stronger now than at any other time. The bad news is that the negative energy is stronger, too.
Can you define star being?
Star beings are people who are connected to other star systems, either through previous lifetimes or are receiving and connected to their star heritage right now. So the star beings, I also refer to them as star seeds. And some of the star seeds actually have lived on other planets and have incarnated into the Earth. So, or it could be people who are only been on the Earth, only had incarnations on the Earth, but their consciousness is expanding and they are awakening to the existence of the other planetary higher systems.
Do you think there's a group of us that are here specifically in reincarnation form, in human form at the moment, to assist in this transition?
Absolutely. And not only that, I believe that there are soul groups who are incarnating together and are connecting together to do this mission. The issue is, how do we implement this? How do we connect with other people? And that was part of the idea of the Group of 40, is that we wanted to create a network around the world where we could meditate together. Now, the Acturians talk about this as thought power. And they even refer to Jesus, and they say, well, here was one man who had all these beautiful thoughts and all this beautiful love, and one man was able to provide such a powerful influence on the whole earth. And this is an example of the right intention, right thinking, right meditation can be accelerated, and we can make a difference through our spiritual energy.
I talk a lot about the heart power, the power of the heart in positive thinking and in intentions. And the theory is that your heart puts out 60 more times power in your brain. Do you find that when people live in that process of gratitude, that they then become open to the channel of receiving the connections that will connect them to like-minded people?
Well, yes, but just opening to the heart energy doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be involved in some of the extra-dimensional work. I mean, I don't know. I never knew Mother Teresa personally. I don't know, but I know she had great heart energy. I'm not sure she was interested in extraterrestrial beings or higher dimensions. But because there is another aspect, the heart energy is extremely important, but there also is the mental body. I mean, people have to have some kind of mental framework to work with the higher dimensions. I mean, the fact that higher dimensions exist needs to be incorporated into your belief system and into your mental body. It's also a key ingredient. The heart energy, as you pointed out, is extremely important, but I also believe Neptunians have taught that the belief systems, the mental body, is also important.
So you talk about in the book that we have to activate our crown chakra and be able to connect through the crown to these cosmic energies in a safe way, and that this is something that the Acturians can help us with.
Yes, you have to connect with them, and they also, the Acturians are teaching in my book, Connecting with the Acturians, that we have to raise the vibration of our aura. Now, the aura is the energy system around our body, and they've given specific exercises. One of them is called the cosmic egg, and I think that is explained in the book, the Connecting with the Acturians. Where you visualize your aura in the shape of an egg. And they say that the egg is the cosmic blueprint of the perfect shape of your aura. And you command your aura to go into that shape. Then when the aura is in that shape, you visualize a line around the aura, and then you become aware that that line represents the pulsing of your aura. And your aura pulses. And when you are in a slow vibration, in a denser vibration, your aura is pulsing at a lower rate, and we say you're at a low vibration. When you're going to higher spiritual realms, you're going into a higher vibration. And so they give exercises that are explained in my book about how to accelerate the speed of your aura. And once you accelerate the speed of your aura, then you're able to increase your psychic powers. You're able to be more aware of your multidimensional presence. You can do other things like bilocate. You can thought project even thought project yourself to the fifth dimension.
And so this speeding up of our vibration is something that we as multidimensional beings and as star seeds had contracted to engage in once we reached a certain point here on Earth. Is that right?
Yes. And when I talked about the spiritual light quotient, it's like, oh, yes, people like you and others or your audience, they understand this and they go, oh yeah, this makes sense. I understand the concept. I mean, maybe.
Well, yeah, because we can feel the vibration is changing and we can feel it all speeding up. And I'm just wondering why, because it just seems like it's activating some new level, but some new attachment to this higher energy, this cosmic energy. Because that's what it feels like. And now what you're describing just makes more sense.
Right. But not only that you have the mental body, you have the mental framework. I mean, that's part of your belief system. You know, you believe in other dimensions. You believe in the aura. You believe that you can bilocate, you could, the thought project. I mean, these are not foreign concepts. So it's, you have the mental and belief system to go along with it. And so it's all four bodies. It's the mental body, the physical body, the spiritual body. You have the spiritual presence and the spiritual energy and the spiritual intention to work with these.
Now, what do they say about what's going to happen with sort of the old-fashioned paradigms that we currently exist in, our, you know, sort of our religious structures, our educational structures, our healthcare, the stuff that we that exists now in the third dimension? What, how will that change?
Well, you know, some of these systems are breaking down and will continue to break down. But more importantly, they talk about what they call planetary cities of light. And in my recent article that I just submitted to the Light Technology, the Sedona Journal of Emergence, I talk about Shambhala. And Light Technology, www.lighttechnology.com, carries all of my books, and they're located in Flagstaff, Arizona. And what they talk about is this concept of a planetary city of light, or Shambhala, where we are creating these enclaves of spiritual light cities. And then we're placing, curtains of high energy light around the cities to ensure that these cities are going to stay in the right spiritual vibration.
So, now, are those cities in the fifth dimension?
No, those cities are here on Earth in the third dimension. And what I'm doing is part of the project of the Group of 40 is to find people who want to activate their cities. And, no, we want to activate third-dimensional cities and make them fifth-dimensional cities here on Earth. And we want to set up fifth-dimensional energy shields around them so that they remain as a city vibrating at a higher rate. I mean, part of our mission is to help transform the Earth.
What effect will that have on the population of the city?
Well, it's only going to help the city, because when you have a group of spiritual people who are creating an energy field, then it's going to attract more spiritually like-minded people. There'll be more educational opportunities. People's vibration will be, raised. So it will have a very positive effect. But generally, we try to start with very small areas, because it's hard to shift the vibration. So, for example, I'm working now with a woman in Kensington, London. Kensington is a small suburb of London. It's maybe 1 mile in diameter. And, we have 16 to 20 people there that are shimmering the light energy field, creating a planetary city of light in that area. But we wouldn't try to do all of London, because it's millions of people, and we still don't have the strength to counteract or work with that large of a city yet.
How about the people that are waking up but are totally confused, that don't have a belief system that accepts this?
Like I said, they need to be stabilized. And there's a lot of confusion going along that around now. There's a lot of instability. And when there's this kind of energy, higher energy, if you don't have a way of receiving it and processing it, you become imbalanced. So people need to be worked with. People need to be balanced. You're absolutely right. Because at this point, remember I said in the beginning, we're in a crisis. We're in a planetary crisis. If the crisis isn't resolved, the crisis is going to accelerate, and people can't become more unbalanced.
Yeah, and so they're going to have to make their choice, fear or love. And then, that goes along with what Casey talked a lot about, the law of one and the harvest of souls. I don't know what the Arcturians call that, but those that ascend and those that don't.
Right, but Casey also talks about cooperation and helping each other.
This was right. We all want to help each other, and that's part of what you're doing. Is giving people access to a way to reach out to these new the light frequencies if they are able to do that. Not everybody can, but anybody that can and is able to will, hopefully. But I want to ask you one question about the grays, about the Zetas, because you do mention it in your book. And one of the things that the Arcturians say about the grays, who have made a lot of, contact here on Earth in the last few decades, is that they had a complete focus on group, and therefore they lost their genetic vitality. And that they also are of a low vibration with a high technology, and are trying to figure out how they can evolve their heart chakra. Can you talk a little bit about that species and sort of what's going on with them?
Well, I think that was a good description. There's something unique about the Adam species, us, and that's our heart energy and our free will. And the grays, they're kind of like ants. I mean, they live in a colony almost, and they're focusing on group consciousness, but they don't have the heart energy. And what's happened is that their race reached a dead end. They needed something else, and that's why they came to the Earth to genetically grab part of our spiritual energy. They didn't have a spiritual consciousness in addition to the heart energy, and it just was, it was not genetically in them. So that's why they began to interact with us to genetically rob what we have and put that in their race so that they could survive, because they were in a position of dying out.
Well, so, but if there's the galactic hierarchy, it was agreed upon that they could that they could do this, right?
Well, yes, and also remember about interference. Okay, if not only is it agreed upon, but if a race comes to the Earth and starts doing that kind of thing, who would stop them? I mean, and in some ways, the Nephilim were stopped. In some ways, the Anaki were stopped. And in some ways, the Greys were stopped because they have not taken over our planet.
Okay, so so the Arcturians are trying to then work with all of the life forms here on Earth, or just the Earth humans, because there are the interdimensional beings, and are we all working together? We're not just talking about the human aspects, right?
Well, the Arcturians have talked to, through me a lot about the whales and the dolphins, that they are higher beings that do relate to the different dimensions. In some of my late lectures about 4 or 5 years ago, they were saying that the whales, in particular, hold a certain vibrational frequency that is necessary for the biosphere in the oceans to survive. And if these beings, the whales, are decimated, then the biospheric ocean energy will not be stable any longer. So they do work with the higher life forms that I just described, the dolphins and the whales.
So what's happening right now, I think, is that the you mentioned the dolphin and the whales. There is some sort of planetary warfare going on in the waters that's causing the annihilation of those species, the dolphins and the whales. I've written about that quite a bit, and the Syrians have been calling out for help as we're watching this all occur, and they do hold the vibrational frequency of the planet. So like when you say we're in crisis, I mean, obviously we are in so many ways. That being one of the big ones.
Well, yeah, because the Arcturians have told me that the whole ocean life could collapse. I mean, some people may be totally shocked by that. But there's a very desperate situation in the ocean. The oceans are definitely threatened. And as you mentioned about the dolphins and the whales, they are a key ingredient in keeping the stability. And the Arcturians in my more recent channelings and books, I've talked about the danger of radiation and nuclear radiation, and are particularly strong on the dangers of Fukushima. And they say that this they have set up what's called the planetary event scale, and they compared the planetary event scale to like the asteroid that hit in the Yucatan 50 million years ago, which destroyed the dinosaurs, and that would be considered on a 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. That would be considered like an 8, or maybe in a 9, because the basic life forms on the surface of the Earth were destroyed by the results of that asteroid striking the Yucatan Peninsula. So the Arcturians have said the Fukushima nuclear accident is a 6 or a 7. A 6 or a 7 on the planetary event scale. Now, that's astounding to me. And this is a major planetary catastrophe. Now, the Arcturians continually talk about the dangers of nuclear radiation. They say that the higher civilizations in the galaxy never would use nuclear energy. Never. Because there's multi levels of destroying, of how radiation destroys things on a planet.
Well, so I guess the some of the unanswered questions are, you know, how can we bring forth this new energy systems, you know, the propulsion systems? How can we meet our galactic neighbors in peace and tear down space-based weapons? You know, how can we regard the Earth and Gaia as our home planet and become sovereign stewards of Gaia? And I guess these are all questions that you're working with on the Arcturians to sort of bring answers to the starseeds and help them sort of point them in directions that can be beneficial.
Right. And the key paradigm that they have brought through is called the Sacred Triangle. And they say that this is a paradigm that will bring total healing to the planet. And the Sacred Triangle is the unification of three spiritual forces, the Native Americans and the Native American people's energy, what's called the mystical energies from all the religions. So that includes mystical Christianity, mystical Judaism, mystical Hinduism, mystical Mormonism, whatever, and what's called the extraterrestrial galactic spirituality. And these three forces have to be united. And the galactic spirituality has to do in part with understanding that planets and civilizations go through all of the traits at all of the stages. And they have also modified this to include not only the Native Americans, but all the Native peoples on the planet. And why the Native peoples? Because the Native peoples, they have already a relationship with Gaia. They know how to work with Gaia. And the Arcturians have developed this terminology called biorelativity, which is the ability to communicate with Gaia and the ability to help realign the Earth's feedback loop system through meditations and thought energy.
So this is just more information than we can cover in this one-hour show, David. And I just really want people to point out to people that they can contact you. They can get a hold of your books through your website. The book Connecting with the Arcturians really spells out a lot of this, as does a lot of your blog posts and your website. So Group of 40 is the website. David Miller.
David, okay, it's David K. Miller.
David K. Miller is our guest.
Yeah, if you go onto Amazon.com, you just type in David K. Miller, you get all my books. Or you go to my website, groupof40.com, and then you'll see where there's a lot of information about some of the books. Yes, this gets into a lot of different information about the Sacred Triangle, which is an important subject.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show. I think we're going to have you back to talk more about the Arcturians. They sound like such a wonderful spiritual group of beings that are here for our benefit. So I hope you'll come back and be a guest again, David.
Okay, thanks a lot, Debbie. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.